When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Lola Pops Off About Dramas with your host, Lola. Welcome, welcome back, everyone, to another episode. And as you can see by today's title, I'm throwing it back to Shiny Inheritance, or as it's also known, Brilliant Legacy. I am super excited to talk about this drama because this was a commitment. This was a time commitment to rewatch this drama. So I am definitely ready to talk about it so I can get my, you know, due time on this one. But I am super excited to also just say that this season so far for Lola Pops Off About K-Dramas podcast has already been one of my favorites, and it's just a couple episodes into the season. I have been having a blast rewatching these dramas, and even just going back and finding dramas I want to feature in this season has been a joy for me. So I am just so grateful that I'm, you know, getting this opportunity to do this. Because I feel like you guys are also letting me do this in a way. Because I'm like, technically, this is not what you usually guys come for. You come for like the updates on the latest dramas that are airing. And instead, I'm kind of switching it up on you guys and doing this. And yet I still feel like people are enjoying these episodes as much as I am. And so I'm just so grateful that you guys are letting me do this, because it really is something I feel like I'm just doing for myself at this point. But if you are also enjoying this, let me know. Please let me know if you're enjoying these episodes, because I'm just like, the feedback has been really good, because it's just making this season even, I'm more motivated to continue with this season than I think I've ever been with this podcast. Like, it's just been really fun. And I think this is why I needed this season. And I'm sorry that I'm rambling already in the start of this episode, because I didn't want to do that, because I have a lot to talk about this drama. But I wanted to just kind of preference, you know, so now that I've kind of done a couple episodes of this throwing it back style, I wanted to just let you guys know that I'm loving this, and I hope you're loving it. And if you're enjoying, let me know. Tell me what dramas you want to kind of probably hopefully see. And I am up for all of that. But I also wanted to mention that don't think that I'm not watching currently airing dramas as well. I am still squeezing in a couple here and there. But like I said, I'm being very, very particular. Like, I'm being very picky about these dramas. I am not standing for any drama that I'm just kind of like, it's just okay. No, these are have to be dramas that are currently airing that I am super into. So I will have coming up soon for you guys an update on what I've been watching, because I feel like I haven't done that for you guys in a while. So a Ramblings and Musings episode. So that should be coming at the end of the month. So look out for that so you can know kind of where I've been with the currently airing dramas. But without further ado, let's talk about Shining Inheritance. So I like to start in these throwing back episodes with a little bit of production notes about the drama. So we're starting with the director who wrote it, when it was released, cast, and some of the things that they've been in the past, and then go into a plot summary. And then I'll get into my initial thoughts while watching this drama for the second time, my midpoint thoughts while watching this drama, and then also my final thoughts. And then at the very end, I kind of let you know, I kind of answer these questions that I'm asking myself, like, you know, would I recommend this drama? Is there merit in rewatching a drama like this, or going back and watching this drama from 2009? And what are my kind of favorite parts of the drama, or my least favorite parts of the drama? So I will end the episode with that. And just like with the other episodes, there will be spoilers. I don't think I'm going to spoil anything that's going to really take away from the enjoyment of a first watch of this drama, but do proceed with caution that there may be spoilers that may make or break this drama for you. But I also, you know, I, I don't think this, the experience of watching this drama, a lot that happens, you know, I'm not going to go into much detail. But yeah, so let me just go ahead and get started with the director. So Shining Inheritance is directed by Jin Hyuk. And a year before this drama, which was 2008, he did The Painter of Wind. And that drama also included two of the stars in Shining Inheritance, and that's Bae Soo-bin and Moon Chae-won. I would love to do a rewatch of this one, but I don't know if I have time for it. But a side note. He's also directed Prosecutor Princess. He's done one of my favorite dramas of all time, City Hunter. He's done The Master's Son. He's done Doctor Stranger, which if you know how I feel about that drama, you know how I feel about that drama. He's also did The Legend of the Blue Sea. He most recently did Sisyphus, I think, the myth. And he has some upcoming dramas as well. So he's been actively directing for a while now. He's still pretty active in the game. And my favorite by him has to be City Hunter. Oh my goodness. You know, I love me some City Hunter. Okay. But anyway, now the writer of Shining Inheritance is So Hyun Kyung. And I believe she did Prosecutor Princess as well with the same director. She also did 49 Days, which has Bae Soo-bin in it. She did So Young, My Daughter. She did 2 Weeks. She did Second 20s. And she actually won, I think, an award for like a K-drama award for best screenplay in 2017 for My Golden Life. So she's been writing for a while and her writing has been awarded. I would have to say that 49 Days is definitely one of my faves. And she's a writer of that one. So gotta shout that out, 49 Days, love that drama. And then I wanted to let you know that this was released in April. It was April 25th to be exact of 2009. And I am finally watching, you know, throwing back to a drama that I watch while it was airing. So this was a drama that I showed up for every single week. And it was a weekend, like Saturday, Sunday style drama, but not in the same sense. But anyway, I'll get back into that in a little bit. But it was a beloved drama while it was airing. And during its airing, it stayed in like the number one spot in the ratings. And it had the highest rating of like a 47 something percent. Like it was pretty high at its highest. So very, very good run for Shining Inheritance. Now, let's move into our cast. And I'm excited to talk about our stars here. So first up, right off the bat, we got to talk about the queen, Han Hyo-joo. She's one of my Pisces queens. and some of her great dramas are Spring Waltz back in 2006. She also did Iljime, which is also a great drama. Donggi, I've done a Throw It Back episode with my friend Squash on that one. You know I love me some Donggi. She's also did W, Two Worlds Apart, which was questionable, but her and Suki together were a dream come true. Also, she did Happiness, and a lot of people loved that. It was just, you know, I barely made it through, okay? But it was also not bad at all to me. And then Moving, one of my favorite couples of the year last year. So definitely. And you know what's crazy? When I was looking at her in this drama from 2009, she was like a baby, super baby face. But then it made me think about her in Moving last year. And I was just like, she looks no different. She hasn't aged a day. She still has her gorgeous little baby face. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, she's not aging. But yes, my favorite from her would have to be obviously Donggi. Loved her in that. And I did, like I said, do a Throwing It Back episode with my lovely friend Squash. So do go back and listen to those two, because we had to break it up in two parts. It's a 60 episode drama, so brace yourself. But super, super great drama. And she was also in that drama with Bae Soo-bin, who is the second male lead in this drama. And so that's just a little. And she was also in Donggi with Bae Soo-bin, who's the second male lead in this drama. And for some reason, in both scenarios, and as far as like their, he kind of plays like her love interest that never comes to be. So it's weird that they have done this twice, never gave us a full actual, you know, love story drama for them. And I'm like kind of sad about it. But anyway, next in our cast I have to pull up is Lee Seung-gi. Congrats on him on the birth of his child. I think he just had his child a couple weeks ago at the time of me releasing this or recording this. So didn't plan that at all, but congrats to him. But I have to say, when I was going back over his dramas, I was like, I've seen a lot of his dramas. I was quite surprised by how many dramas I've seen of his. But you may know him from things like My Girlfriend is a Gumiho, The Greatest Love, The King Two Hearts, Goo Family Book, A Korean Odyssey. He was in Mouse. I didn't watch Mouse, but I have watched a lot of it. And he also has been in two movies. And one of them, he was in that movie with Moon Chae-won, who is the other actress in this drama. So everybody's been connected. They've worked together multiple times. So I kind of love that whenever I see that in a kind of actor's filmography, that they have people that they've worked with multiple times. But yes, and my favorite from him, I think, would definitely be The King Two Hearts. I love that drama. So that might be one that definitely is getting a rewatch, because I haven't watched that since it aired. And I feel like I need to go back and revisit that. But anywho, love me some Seungri. Now let's go to Moon Chae-won. Love her. Can you tell this is one of my favorite like cast round full stop? Like I love each and every one of them individually. So can you imagine having them in a drama together? It's just like ideal. But Moon Chae-won, she is such a drama queen. And when I say drama queen, I really just mean she loves her dramatic roles. Like she does best when she's like distraught and crying. I'm sorry, that sounds horrible, but she does. But she's been in the game since 2007. You know, she's been here for a while. She started with a high school drama called Mackerel Run, and it has you guys' fave in it, Lee Min Ho. I know how you guys love him so much. I'm being facetious because I know you guys. 9 times out of 10, when I talk about Lee Min Ho, I get he's overrated, and I'm like, wow, man. You guys don't like him. So hands up to anyone who actually likes Lee Min Ho. Let me know. Just want to take a poll, quick poll. And she was also in The Princess's Man, which was a huge drama when it was airing. Also The Innocent Man, she did amazing in. She was in Good Doctor, which obviously, you know, got a Western Western remake. Flower of Evil, one that I have yet to watch. So could be on the list for this year. And she was most recently in Payback from early last year. I absolutely loved her from The Innocent Man and The Princess Man. I mean, I watched Good Doctor for her. Like, I love me some Moon Chae-won. And like I said, she was also in a movie that I liked with Seungri. And she has worked with the mother the actress that plays her mother in this drama, Shining Inheritance. She's worked with her recently in Payback, and they were in a mother-daughter kind of role again. And so I thought that was so cute when I recognized that. I was like, oh my gosh. Little small tidbits. And then now, last but certainly not least in my cast list here for Shining Inheritance is my bae, Bae Soo-bin. I have a thing for the Bays. I'm going to be honest. Bae Soo-bin. Now, if we were to start the counter for what actor will appear the most in my Throwing It Back episodes right now, it would currently be him. He's in my episode about Dong-yi. He's in my episode about Secret Love. And now he's in this episode about, you know, a Shining Inheritance. So it's like, you know, if you need to know anything about him and me, that should tell you something right off the bat, okay? I think I sort of loved him back in the day. When I saw him in a drama, I knew I was gonna be in for a torturous but memorable time. Each time without fail. I mean, he's in things, let's just start listing some of his dramas. Fashion 70s, The Painter of the Wind, Brilliant Legacy, of course, or Shining Inheritance, Temptation of an Angel, Dong-yi, 49 Days, Secret Love. He was in the movie Memories of the Sword. He is just one of my favorite actors. I can actually say that proudly. He's often, unfortunately, a second male lead, but I think that's why I can peg him as one of my favorite actors, because even in roles where he's always second male or he's just like, you know, supporting character, he still stands out to me. And I'm not just saying that because he's actually very gorgeous to look at, but because his characters themselves, what he brings to his characters, pushes them to the forefront for me. And I adore him. I think that's a skill, to be someone who's supporting cast and to be kind of not, you know, main, and yet you find a way to make your character stand out and be memorable for the person after they finish. You know, like, I always feel like I leave dramas with him in it, like, man, his character, though, that was a good character. And it sometimes isn't even the character. It's just his portrayal of that character. So I don't know how he picks them. The last thing I've seen him in, I dropped the drama, so I'm not going to bring that up. But if you know, you know. But I definitely miss him and what he used to do for dramas for me back in the day. I don't know if he's kind of just, like, you know, done his time and he's kind of just, you know, I don't know. I miss him. But I think I'm having a good time revisiting dramas with him in it. So he might be in another one. Let's just see. He might be in another one of my episodes. But right now, if the counter starts, he's the actor that has been, appeared most in my Throwing It Back episodes thus far. So love you, Beethoven. But anyway, now let's move on to the synopsis of this drama. And this one, of course, I always pull it from some random, you know, drama wiki site. So it's always the best written, but we'll get into the actual nuts and bolts of the drama as I keep talking about it. Now, this starts with, during her visit home from studying abroad, Go Eun-sung's father is declared dead from a gas explosion. Her stepmother takes the life insurance money and moves out with her daughter, Yoo Soon-mi, leaving Eun-sung and her autistic but musically talented brother, Eun-ju, without money or shelter. Soon after, Eun-ju goes missing, leaving Eun-sung devastated. And then we have Jang Suk-jang, who is the head of a food company, and after encountering Eun-sung, she is touched by Eun-sung's compassion and work ethic. However, she has a very spoiled grandson and her supposed heir to her food company, Sun Woo-hwan, but she is often very, very hurt and disappointed by him. And now, after Suk-ja's interaction with Eun-sung, she brings Eun-sung to her home and announces that Eun-sung will become the new heir to her company. And this understandably upsets her grandson, whose previous encounters with Eun-sung have already led to some animosity. To complicate matters further, Won is Soon-mi's first love and marriage target. So that is a very shoddy kind of synopsis of this drama, but it does get the gist of it. We kind of get introduced to our main players. So now let's just go straight into my initial thoughts, which will probably be kind of, I broke the episodes down as far as how I wanted to think about my initial and midpoint and final thoughts. So episodes 1-10 are kind of like the initial starts of this drama. And then midpoint, I'm looking at 11 to about 19. And then rounding out with my final thoughts, we are talking about episodes 22, the end. So now let's start with kind of those initial thoughts. And I want to start with the setup of this story, being that it is 28 episodes. It was aired during the weekend, so it has a very family style weekend drama look, smell, taste. Like, it breathes family weekend drama just the way that it's shot. But to me, it's not quite a family weekend drama. I mean, obviously 28 episodes is usually very low for the family weekend style drama. That's usually, we're hitting 50, we're hitting 60, sometimes 120. So it's not, to me, that full experience of a weekend family drama. And I think the drama knows that, and it does itself justice by kind of identifying that and forming the story not around so many characters. I think that's the difference with some of these family weekend dramas, where it feels like you are following five different families and five different homes, and you got so many different players and so many different interactions between those families, and it's just a lot sometimes. But it's not the case with this drama at all. This one focuses on our main two families and those main characters in those, and that's it. We don't have a lot of other moving pieces, and I really appreciated that. I feel like that's its strong point, and to me, that's what kind of really sets it apart from the real family style drama. So I feel like people who don't like those weekend dramas, because of the length of them or whatnot. I think this is a good, happy medium for sure. But now that we're talking about characters, let's talk about our characters in this drama. Let's kind of pull them all out and kind of go off of my thoughts when you initially meet them. Mind you, this is a rewatch for me, so I know these characters to some extent after I started the rewatch, but it's been years, okay, since 2009. So it did feel a little new to me in a way, and I kind of appreciated that. I really did. So let's start with Hwan and Eunsung. So Hwan is the grandson of our grandmother. I'm going to be calling her grandmother. I'm not going to be calling her by her name. But this is the Sukja, who's the head of a food company, president of a food company. So Hwan and Eunsung, when we meet them, they are both on a flight returning to Korea from study abroad, I think in like New York. And they don't know each other, obviously. But when they arrive, they immediately get off the wrong foot because they get their bags switched. Their bags are identical. They end up switching bags at the airport. And instead of Hwan being like, oh, our bad, let's make this switch happen, he immediately accuses her of trying to steal his stuff, steal his bag, because he is wealthy. He comes from a very wealthy background. His grandmother spoils him. So he moves about in life, in his spaces, and interacts with people with an air of arrogance and an air of, I can do bad and nobody else can. And he treats everyone who is not his direct kind of like people as, you know, the dirt on the bottom of his shoe. That is just how he is initially when you meet him. And obviously when he meets Eunsung. Now when we meet Eunsung, she's also not in a position of, you know, poverty or being poor. I mean, she's coming back from studying abroad. Her brother goes to piano school because he's like a savant. And then we have, you know, her father running his own company. So she's also not someone who's not doing bad for herself. You know, she's doing pretty well too. So it just is like he immediately kind of, you know, attacks her and assumes like she's some thief. And it's like, absolutely not. Eunsung is not a thief. But she's coming back for her reasons of getting her brother so that they can go back to America together. She wants him to go to a school in the States to kind of nurture his, you know, talents and abilities. And then we have Hwan, who's returning home by not because of any reason of his own. He's only returning back home because he's been forced to by his grandmother. And when he gets home, he finds out that his grandmother wants him back because she wants to prepare him to take over her company. She wants him to get, you know, get his hands dirty, start working for the company, learning about the company so that he can take it over. But she is immediately met, his grandmother is immediately met with just absolutely not, rejection. I will never take over this company. I have no desire. This is not something I have planned for my life. Why would you even assume? If I get the company, I'm gonna just sell it immediately. Like, this is stuff that he is saying directly to his grandmother the minute he comes back home. And so that's our introduction into these two characters. We have a very spoiled, uppity, rude, selfish jerk of a guy named Hwan. And then we also have Eunsung, who is, you know, out of the goodness of her heart, ready to come back, to take her brother back so that he has a better living situation, or, you know, a nurturing situation for his talent. She loves her father. She is such a daddy's girl. She is, you know, kind of about her stepmother and her stepsister, but she's very kind to them on paper. And so you just get their complete opposites, right? That's the thing, how she's so welcoming to her family and loving of her family. And then you have Hwan, who's like, why am I even back here? Like, how dare you ask me to come back here? You know? And so that is something that the story, the drama does for us immediately. It sets these two characters up as kind of like the antithesis of one another. They are kind of complete opposites, and we are supposed to view them that way. And the story forces us to do that. Now, other characters that we meet in the beginning, obviously, are Junse, who is played by Subin, and then we also have Sungmi, who's played by Moon Chae-won. And these two characters are already intertwined with Hwan. They already know him. Junse grew up with him because his father, who is a lawyer, works for his grandmother's company. And then Sungmi met him at school when there she was younger. And so ever since then, he's taken her underneath his wing. When everyone else thinks he's kind of like haughty and rude and mean, he's only nice to her. And so she feels special because of that. And so she's latched on to this man. This is her ride or die. She loves this man, okay? She won't let him go for anything. But you do get to see their interactions being more on Juan's side, one of a brother, older brother to a actual younger sister, as opposed to Seungmi viewing him a completely different light. So they're already intertwined. And then Seungmi, of course, is Eunsung's stepsister. So they grew up together, but they went to different schools. Eunsung got to study abroad. You know, they're different. They had different experiences growing up because they joined families when they were quite older. So they, you know, Seungmi had already had her relationship formed with Juan in school, as opposed to Eunsung, never knew him, never met him. That's just how they were kind of separated in this kind of united, this family that came together. They were still kind of living these individual lives, which, you know, makes sense to some degree. Now, I cannot mention those four and their interactions and their kind of initial meeting without mentioning the stepmother. I'm going to be calling her stepmother throughout this, but it's basically Seungmi's mother and Eunsung's stepmother. She is the evil stepmother. Like, if you wanted to define an evil stepmother character in a drama, that is her. But when we start talking about the story more and her role in this story, I have some thoughts on her that I think may be weird, because I think the way that they initially position her in the story and how the viewers end up viewing her, I think, you know, they're a little, it contrasts. I think it kind of conflicts a little bit. But yes, I will be talking a lot about her as we keep going and talking about the story. But I want to mention those four just so we get the way. And so just a little bit about Junsei and his character, though, specifically, and then I'll talk about Seungmi in a minute. Junsei, he meets Eunsung at the airport because his friend drags him along, who knows Eunsung from school or something like that. And so he ends up meeting her. And immediately when he meets her, he is kind of like drawn and kind of like, oh my gosh, I like her right off the bat. It's not love at first sight, but it's definitely interest at first sight with Eunsung and Junsei. And Junsei is a doll. He is a sweetheart. If there ever is a sweetheart male character, he is a, you know, Daddy Long Legs, as in he makes sure that he's doing whatever he can to make sure she's good throughout this drama. He is there. So I don't have anything else to say about his character really throughout the rest of this. I'm just going to tell you up front, he's perfect and he's perfection. Even when he has a moment to not be perfect, he still makes the perfect decision. You know, like, that is Junsei through and through. Is it a little stock? Maybe. Maybe it's a little stock character. Maybe it's a little kind of like there's not much growth, you know, but performance wise, do not count Soo Bin out. The performance of Junsei now did wonders. But the character on paper itself does seem a little flat. It doesn't seem as round as the other characters. Now, Seungmi, I would say, is a character with some depth, okay? Seungmi is a character with some layers. And this is because she is actually, I don't even know how you would describe her. She's weak. She has a weak backbone, I would say. Like, she stands on this thought that she loves this man named Juan. He's the one for her. He's all that she needs to survive and make it in this world. She needs this man. That's her everything, is Juan. And so everything else that surrounds him or things that will threaten that, she starts to grow a backbone for, okay? Previously, it's kind of like she's soft-hearted. She's kind of weak-spirited of like, okay, maybe, which is the opposite of her mother. Her mother is not that at all. Her mother's like, whatever I need to do to make sure my daughter is good and happy, I'm going to do. And Seungmi, and by default, starts to kind of get swept into that, where it's like, my mom is conniving and scheming, so I think I need to connive and scheme as well. And it comes naturally, like it's almost in her blood when we start seeing it sprout from her, when originally you don't see her as that. You don't view her as that. She looks like an absolute sweetheart. She really does in the beginning. Then all of a sudden you see these moments where it's like, you are your mother's daughter, okay? We definitely see it. And I love that about the Sumi character. I love that. So when I say she has layers, she has layers. She has depth. When you think you know her, you think you're going to, you know what decision she's going to make, she switches on you and she does something else, or she does the thing that you think she's going to do, but you feel like she's justified for doing it. So I really, really loved that character just in general. And I wanted to get that out of the way because I feel like I'm not going to give her as much attention as I keep going through the story, but I want to upfront say, in comparison to Junsei, she is a much fuller and rounder character. Now, let's just go into the first kind of major happenings in episodes like 1 through 10 in a way. So after we get all of them and their initial meetings and we kind of get introduced to our characters, we get introduced to a lot of, how would you say, soap opera, some very soap opera moments. I mean, things that set off the story, that make the story what it is, but they're, you kind of got to suspend your disbelief just a little bit in the beginning for some of the things that happen. So one of the first major things that happens, and that I said in the synopsis, is that Eun-sung comes back, and after just finally getting settled and things starting to, you know, get situated, her father ends up, quote unquote, dying. And I'm saying quote unquote dying because, spoiler alert, her father isn't actually dead. So with that kind of thing, you're like an explosion, like he dies in this random explosion. You know, it didn't make any sense, but comes to find out it wasn't him. His identification was there. So because explosion was so bad, they couldn't actually physically make out who that man was. They just had the identification there, right? Because he had gotten robbed that morning or something like that. You know, things like that where you're like, oh, of course that happened. Then the other kind of like major thing that happens is that Eun-sung, after her father dies, it's a whirlwind, and the whirlwind includes her stepmother immediately getting Eun-sung and her younger brother out of her life. So she basically takes the insurance money without Eun-sung really knowing that her father even had an insurance claim out there. She takes this money and then she convinces them that they need to leave. She gives them a little chump change, and she's like, go figure it out. And after you do this to Eun-sung, who just moved back from America, so she doesn't have any place in Korea at this time. She's just moving back, and she has a brother who is autistic. She is running the streets trying to figure out how she's going to find a place to live and take care of her brother. In the process of her figuring all that out, her younger brother ends up running away. And not really, okay? Because the gag is, he doesn't run away. He kind of gets lost one night when Eun-sung is not there to watch him. Someone else is watching him. And after that happens, who does he run into? His stepmother. And when the stepmother realizes that Eun-woo remembers her car license plate, he remembers her phone number, he remembers the address to where they used to live, because he has a great memory, she is terrified that they're always going to be able to find her again and find her and Sumi again. So she's like, I have to get rid of him because I don't want anything to do with these two, because I basically stole their money and am living my fabulous life on their money. So she thinks of the worst idea, to take Eun-woo and abandon him far outside of Seoul. So once she does that, of course, Eun-sung doesn't know what to do with herself. She doesn't have a place to live. She's working at a random nightclub trying to make money. And her brother, who is her life at that point, is gone, is missing, and she can't find him. And it's just evil at play. Like, that's something that this stepmother starts with. Again, very dramatic situation, though, where it's like this: her brother goes missing. The other dramatic thing that happens all in the first 10 episodes, again, is that Eun-sung, after she, you know, has left to look for her brother with no money and barely a place to live, she is left in this position to finally meet our grandmother, this head, this company, this president of this company. And the thing with the grandmother is that, again, her grandson and her granddaughter and her daughter-in-law, because her son has passed away, she is just disappointed by all of them, because she realizes at some point that, you know, especially after her grandson returns home, that they have no desire to carry on her legacy. They have no desire to continue to keep her company running with her values in mind, because the minute she decides to bring her grandson back and tell him this, he says, oh, if you give it to me, I'm selling it immediately. I'm just going to sell it. I'm going to flatten the building and turn it into a mall. You know, he tells this to his grandmother to her face. So she is distraught. And after hearing this, she kind of like, I don't want to say has like this break, but she does have this moment of like, she wants to go back to her roots. And so she goes out and she goes to a place that is very special to her. And it's a place where she used to go and sell food with her little son on her hip. And so she goes back to this area in town to do so. And this is where she sees our Eunsung. And Eunsung is doing the same thing that she remembers herself doing years and years ago. Eunsung's on the streets. She's trying to sell something. She's trying to make a quick buck. She's like, you know, because she comes from a culinary background, because that's what she was studying in America. So she's like trying to sell her little food, and she's just doing what she could do to make it by. And the grandmother sees this. But unfortunately, the grandmother has a fall while that she's, you know, interacting with Eunsung. And Eunsung sees her and immediately kind of takes care of this older woman, because she's, you know, obviously falling down the stairs, she's bleeding, she's unconscious, and Eunsung, being the doll and dear that she is, immediately, you know, takes this woman to the hospital. But the woman wakes up without her memory. She doesn't remember who she is, where she's from, and so Eunsung feels responsible for her, and again, she takes her into her kind of rundown apartment that she has been living in by herself while she looked for her brother. And this grandmother, while regaining her memory, she is, you know, not easy to live with. She kind of gives Eunsung a rough time. And Eunsung takes it all in stride. And she takes it all in stride because she feels like this grandmother's giving her company while she's been at her lowest with no one. And so she actually welcomes the grandmother and living in her space. And the other thing that we see during this time is that the grandmother regains her memory while she's living with Eunsung, and yet she starts to test Eunsung. She starts to kind of do things to make Eunsung upset, or things to kind of make her lash out and abandon the grandmother, but Eunsung doesn't. Everything the grandmother throws her way, Eunsung takes it in stride. Even when she's distraught and she's crying and she's upset and she yells at the grandmother, she still is like, but I'm not going to kick you out, you know, because I know what that feels like. I know what that feels like to be abandoned and, you know, pushed aside and kicked out. So she does everything that the grandmother, she passes all the tests that the grandmother puts her through. And that's when the grandmother sets everything up for her to basically move in with her family. And she does find out that her, you know, Eunsung is dealing with the, you know, loss of her father, but also that her brother is missing. So the grandmother makes a proposition. She tells Eunsung, hey, I will help you find your brother. I have the resources to scour the country to find your brother. And in helping you find your brother, I just would require you to live with me. She said, I also will give you a job at one of my restaurants, you know, so you'll be taken care of, but I need you, you know, I will do this for you if you live with me. And that, of course, leads to tons of backlash from her family. But Eunsung, who is desperate and knows that her priority should be just finding her brother, she takes that offer and allows herself to be subjected to the family hating her completely. And that includes the grandson, Juan. Now, that is all the beginning of this drama. And when I say like episodes 1 through 10, that is really like a big, you know, the beginning of this drama. Now, as you can see by the midpoint of the drama, I was like, it's when I realized that a grand romance has yet to start. We're, you know, when I'm at the midpoint, I'm like, we're midway through and Juan and Eunsung are now rivals. They're even more enemies than they were originally at the beginning of the drama with the whole debacle with the switching of the suitcases. So I was just like, okay, what? Did I think there were gonna be a grand romance in this drama? I think I remembered there being one, but maybe I was wrong. I've been wrong before, if you listen to my previous Thorny Back episode. So I was just like, oh my goodness, we're already halfway through and there's no romance in sight. And the thing about them being pitted together, you know, pitted against each other, that's our grandmother. She decides to pit the two against one another because she declares that Eunsung will be the one who actually inherits her company. And she does not give any, you know, she doesn't allow for any backlash. She strips away all the things that she provides for her family, her granddaughter, her grandson, and her daughter-in-law. She basically is like, you guys need to work. I'll give you allowance, but no credit cards for you, no car for you, none of that. All you get is to live in my house and warm meals. But other than that, you have to make your money yourself. And this is new to her and her family. She's never done this before. She says now she realizes, you know, how bad she's been to her family by allowing them to become so spoiled in a way. And so she basically pulls up all from them and they are not happy about it. So a lot of the midpoint of this drama is her family, her grandson, trying to basically figure out how they're going to be different. And it's not easy for them at all. And at this midpoint, I'm still quite invested in the story. I mean, there, like I said, the story at this midpoint, I realize, is not about a romance at all. And to be honest, I was wondering why I ever may have thought that, because it is so much about this woman's legacy and who she believes can actually help uphold the legacy once she's gone. And that's what the story is really about. And I don't think I remembered it just like that. I think I remembered these two, our Eunsung and our Hwan, and there's kind of grand romance, but it's not about them falling for each other at all. But while we do see Eunsung and Hwan in the midpoint of this drama starting their battle against one another for, you know, who's going to be the heir, it isn't really a vicious battle at all. It's just one of those kind of like thing where the two are grumpily working together at one of grandmother's, you know, restaurants. And it's just them kind of like, you know, arguing back and forth. But they're never really mean or vicious to one another. So that is a great kind of like, for me, someone who enjoys enemies to lovers, that's how I like to feel. I like to feel like there's a way to come back from the enemy part. If you guys are just like absolutely horrible to one another, and then there's like this grand love that's supposed to come from that, I have a really hard time believing that. But I realized when I was watching this, like, this is why I probably really enjoy their relationship forming in this drama, is because it starts from this enemies, you know, place, but it's never a really vicious and horrible, you know, place that they come from. And so I like that. I really did like that about their interactions. But we also get to see in the midpoint of this drama about Eunsung's father, because remember, he's supposed to be dead and he's not. And he realizes that he has gotten away basically with insurance fraud, in the sense that he took out that claim and was hoping that it would support his family once he was declared dead. And he didn't really plan it out to that extent, but he had been pressured by his wife, his Eunsung's stepmother, about ways of figuring out how to secure his family's financial aid, because that is why she really married him. Let's just be honest. The stepmother's very upfront about this to some degree, that the only reason she marries is to gain financial stability. Sprinkle, sprinkle. So I just have to say that that is one of the things she is a part of her character. She does not deny that to a lot of people. And so when she starts to show her true colors, when Eunsung's father company starts to fall and collapse in the beginning, that is what kind of sends him to do something like take an insurance out just in case something, you know, mysteriously happens to him. He feels like, at least then my family will be supported. He doesn't, and he's like, if I kill myself, obviously they can't get the insurance, but he does want to, you know, if something were to happen kind of thing, and something does. So he ends up, you know, realizing like, I can't just show back up and you know, do whatever. But he does find his wife. He goes, he's like, I miss my family. I want to find them. I want to see if they're set up. I want to see if they're okay. And he is looking for Eunsung, but he can't find her. So what, you know, who does he find instead? His wife. And she is horrified for many reasons. One being that she could get in super, like, tons of trouble because she has used that insurance money, and that, you know, she has kicked out his two children, and he, it's like, where are they? So she, being the mastermind and the master liar that she is, tells him tons of lies about what happens. And she's just like, you need to leave, you know, me really alone, because if it's discovered that you're still alive and you're hanging around me, then I, you know, I'm going to get in trouble because I, you know, cashed in on that insurance. And so he takes it as, okay, I guess I have to just like be okay with the fact that I can't be with my family. And then she tells him about, you know, oh yeah, and your daughter and your son, they're in America right now. She ended up going back and everything's good, but she hasn't gotten contact with me. So, you know, like, she gives him lies like this, and he really believes that. So he basically takes on this life of kind of like just living on the streets. And in the process of living in the streets, he does end up meeting Junsei, who really kind of helps him, but they, and they kind of form a bond. But Junsei doesn't know who he is, and he's never around him when Eunsung's around. But luckily, at some point in the midpoint of this drama, he finds out that Eunsung is in Seoul. She is in Korea. He sees her from afar on a bus. And after he realizes this, of course, he's like, wait a minute. She lied to me, and I need to actually find my daughter now. I can get to her. And so he starts a hunt to find his daughter for real now, while his wife, who, you know, isn't his wife kind of thing, is trying to convince him that she's not in Seoul. She lies through her teeth. I mean, pathological. Like, she will tell you, if you told her the sky is blue, she will argue you down that the sky is not blue. The sky is yellow. What do you mean the sky is blue? How dare you believe that the sky is blue? Why would you even insinuate the sky is blue? Like, that's, she's a gaslighter to, she's a liar to the tenth. I mean, the stepmother's character was such a struggle to watch because it was so frustrating. Like, if you were on the receiving end of those lies, I would scream. And she does it to everybody. She does it to Eunsung all the time. When Eunsung finds out, you know, I'm getting ahead. But anyway, something else we get to see at the midpoint of this drama is that Hwan, all but a jerk for so much of the drama, but all but him being jerkish isn't all that bad. It's actually quite endearing in a lot of ways and a little adorable. And I love that about this Hwan character. It's like, he's never too bad on paper. Like, he's not at all. He's actually just kind of more like immature and grumpy. And so when we're watching him in this midpoint of the drama, he starts to look for reasons to be around Eunsung and almost begins to look up to her and is inspired by her, which of course seems to be the plan, really, from the grandmother's perspective. It's kind of get him around good company. And while he's feeling that way and drawn to Eunsung, she becomes this character that makes him want to be a better person. And it's glorious. It's glorious. So though the romance is not there at all still in the midpoint of this drama, the like that begins from Hwan's side of things is just so lovely. It really is. And it's so subtle, and it's gentle, and it's quiet, and it's just like him doing these little cute little small little things. And it's just really nice to see his character be just so soft, so soft in these moments with her. And yet they still are very testy with one another. So it's like you still have that kind of love hate that's really fun, but it's really muted. And I think that's the best part of their relationship at the midpoint of this drama. Also, and again, the midpoint, we're talking about episodes 11 through 19. So these are quite a few episodes. We also get to see Eunsung is just progressing and working while she's still missing her brother, and she's trying to find her brother. And when they get really close to finding him, they actually locate where he was abandoned. But the minute they go there, of course, she misses him by a hair, and he ends up, you know, back in Seoul, but definitely in a place that she would never know or never look. And it's such a frustrating part of the story, I'm going to be honest, because her brother finds, you know, ends up back in Seoul. And of course, he ends up back in the most unbelievable place. And it's one of Hwan's friends takes him in. And it's just so like, what? He's right there. But, you know, it's so frustrating because he's right underneath her nose and she doesn't know it. But she also, during this time, after she locates her brother where he originally was abandoned, this helps her figure out that her stepmom was the one to abandon her brother. She has enough to believe it, right? She knows there's a lot of signs, a lot of things that she knows, like, this is obvious. My stepmother is a horrible person. Why would she abandon him? Like, she didn't have to, like, abandon. She could have just took him to a police station. Why would you drive him all the way out of Seoul and abandon him like that? But she doesn't have enough evidence to really, you know, prove this. So when she confronts her stepmom about this, of course, her stepmom argues her down to her face. She's like, I can't believe. Why would I do that? What would make me do that? Why would I have, did you see me go there? Did you see me abandon him? Is there footage of me? Like, that's how she talks to her. And it's so annoying because it's like, we all know you did it. And she gaslights her to the 10th degree. She's like, are you sure you're not mad at yourself for losing him? Are you taking that out on me? It's really you that you're angry at. You know, that's how she talks. When I tell you, it will drive you mad. It's very triggering if you are in a situation. I'm sure that you have experienced something like this, not just from like a family perspective, just in general, the amount of gaslighting this woman does and lying that this woman does. It is triggering, I'm telling you. But again, this is all in the midpoint of the drama. And also while we're getting towards the end of this drama, you know, from this midpoint, we also get to see Hwan and then Eunsung realizing that there might be more to their relationship than just bickering and, you know, fighting. It might be a little bit more. There's a lot of fondness there and there's some attraction. And while they're kind of slowly figuring this out, we also see other people figuring this out. And those two people would be Seungmi and Junsae, who both respectively have feelings for the other. For one of them. So Junsae has been all over Eunsung and trying to convince her to be something, but she's definitely, it's like, I have too many things on my plate. I don't have time to think about dating and being with someone. That's just not an option for me. While Seungmi is trying to make, you know, a marriage with Hwan happen. She's been trying to convince her mother, to convince his grandmother, like, we gotta get this ball rolling. And Hwan is just like, I never said that's what I wanted from you. And it's really hard for those two, obviously. But Hwan and Eunsung, they're slowly figuring out that there may be more to their relationship. And that is something that you enjoy seeing at this point in the drama. But it is, but you can see it grating on Seungmi and Junsae. But more so on Seungmi's side, who starts to take on some of the traits of her mother, trying to secure her place in Hwan's life. Junsae, he's not that bad. He just keeps going up and approaching Hwan and kind of yelling at him, like, don't do it. You're not good for her. You're just going to hurt her. He's, you know, trying to talk Hwan out of it. He doesn't do that with Eunsung, obviously, because she doesn't have the immediate, you know, recognition of her feelings for Hwan. But Hwan, he's getting pretty, you know, clear about his. And Junsae is like, let me stop you right now. Let me stop you right now. But yeah, the minute, like I said, Seungmi finds out and she tells her mother, now the mother lashes completely out. She goes for the jugular when it comes to Eunsung. She's like, oh no. I gotta ruin this girl's life to the 10th degree to make sure my daughter gets what she needs. And so she goes to the grandmother and her family and she lies through her teeth. When I tell you this scene, I wanted to fast forward through it because I was like, I hate this. I hate this. She lied through her teeth. And she had her daughter. She had Seungmi right next to her. And Seungmi's just nodding her head, knowing everything is a lie. And she's basically just like, Eunsung's, she's a conniving little witch who knew what she was doing. When she took you in, she knew what she was doing. How could she not know who you were? When Seungmi grew up talking about Hwan all her life, she talked about him. She has pictures with him and your family. Like, how could she have not known you and your family? She's conniving. She did all of this. She approached you for the inheritance. She knew what she was doing. And Man, when I tell you, I was so upset because you could see how everyone that she took this out. She was saying this to grandmother. She was saying this to the grandmother's daughter-in-law. She was saying this to her granddaughter, who they already felt some kind of way about her. Then she's saying this with Juan there as well. So he's like, wait, she knew who I was this whole time? You know, so everyone's like second guessing what they thought about Eunsung, who seems to be on paper a doll, a gem, everything that grandmother wanted in her granddaughter, you know, in her grandchild. Like, she's everything she needed and more. And this woman's telling us the complete opposite. And so it was so frustrating to watch that moment when she kind of breaks that down. But now let's get into the final thoughts, the final kind of 8 episodes of the drama. And this is after this kind of whole breakdown of Eunsung, who basically kind of, you know, flees from the grandmother's house after that part. And she's like, you know what? I don't want anything to do with this anymore. I don't even know how to. I know they're not going to believe me. I don't even know what to say. You know, she's like, I don't even know what to tell you, because she comes with like these made up receipts, you know. That's how she's able to convince a lot of the family. So after this kind of horrible scene with Eunsung basically like giving up, she's like, it doesn't really matter. Like, they're never going to believe me. What we get instead is the grandmother and Juan not believing it. And I loved it so much. Like, they were like, the girl that I know, Eunsung, it don't sound like her. It does not sound like her at all. And I think that is just one of the things that I think make you really, really fall for his character even more towards the end here. It's just like how he's like, I know what I know and what I know. And what I know is that does not sound like her at all. And grandmother, of course, she's like, I trust my intuition. I read this girl. I tested this girl myself. Like, I know for a fact, deep down, this girl would never do this. Like, they stand up for her. And because of that, when Soon-mi and her mother thought she was going to get fired from the restaurant that she was working with grandmother with, that she was going to be pulled from the wheel and the inheritance wouldn't be hers, when all of they thought that was all going to happen, it doesn't. She keeps working at the restaurant. Juan is still there next to her. And they're like, what? You know, the plan didn't work. It didn't work. Obviously, her daughter-in-law and her granddaughter still feel horrible about Eunsung, but our grandmother and our Juan, they do not buy it. And so we get to the end of the drama in the final 8 episodes, and this is where everything kind of comes to a head. So we have Eunsung and Juan, who are starting to recognize their feelings for one another, and it's beginning to show really bad that they have feelings for one another. And then Eunsung's father is now at the point of desperation, you know, looking for his children. So he approaches his wife, Eunsung's, you know, stepmother, and he tells her, I'm going to confess. I'm going to turn myself in. I can't live like this anymore. I want to regain my name back. Like, I got to do the time. If I got to do the time, I don't care, but I can't keep living like this. I want to actively be able to openly search for my children, because she, again, isn't helping him, right? Find her. She knows where his children are, but she's not helping him. So he helps her, and that freaks her out. And then you have Soon-mi and Junse, who are starting to realize that they don't stand a chance with, you know, with Eunsung or Juan now. And Soon-mi is taking it the hardest. She is really down bad. Like, she has scenes with her just laying in bed and her mom's like, you gotta get up, you gotta. And she's like, I can't, leave me alone. You know, she is hit the hardest. Junse, you know, he's moving and shaking still. He's still in Eunsung's life. He's still appreciating her, still taking care of her, still just being there for her without pressure, which I have to give it up to Junse. He, as much as he, you know, like everything he expresses to Juan. He never expressed it like that to Eunsung, and I kind of really appreciate that about him. But it is episode 21, and I'm calling out the exact episode because it's 28 episodes, this drama. We have been watching this drama from episode 1 to episode 21, and it is in 21, the confession from Juan to Eunsung. Finally, he confesses to her how he actually feels about her. But Eunsung immediately lists off the reasons that they should never be. She said, nope, 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 nope. Here are the reasons why we will never work out. And the scene, of course, is like they have all been on this kind of work trip, all four of them. Of course, they all end up on the work trip together. And Eunsung goes for a walk, you know, as the sun is rising in the morning, and so does Hwan. And as they're going for, you know, they're not going together. He kind of, you know, stumbles upon her on this walk, and he ends up confessing to her, and she immediately, after she rejects him and tells him no, 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 he chases her down because he sees that she's wearing this necklace that he had bought her that she had originally rejected. He had just kind of bought it for her like, oh, she had lost her necklace that her mother had gave her, so he wanted to replace it for her because he couldn't find her necklace. He was like, well, you know, here's another necklace. Can you wear this one, you know? And he tried to throw, you know, brush it off like it was no big deal. But she really thought it meant a lot. And so she was like, I don't want this. I know what this means and I don't want this. And yet he sees her during this morning wearing that necklace. And that's when he's like, oh no, I don't buy it. So he chases her down and he exclaims on this shaky bridge because they're kind of at a distance at this point. He says, who cares about all of that? When I believe in you, when I like you, when I want to be with you. I know, it's so sweet. And then they finally have a kiss. Episode 21, we get a kiss. And it's just like, oh! It's like the end of episode 21 too. So it was like, oh my goodness. And when I tell you to go through such a long game like this drama is, and to have this moment, it really did. And I'm like, I miss those days. I'm not gonna lie. I miss those experiences of watching dramas and just like the long game. Like when you're watching like the slow build. The slow burn. It was so good. Only for episode 22 to start. And she immediately is like, absolutely not. She pushes away from his confession and his kiss. And she's like, no. And she walks away so pitifully, you know, like so sad. And he's left crying on the shaky bridge. And, you know, guess who's, of course, looking at him crying? Seungmi. She sees this, of course. Of course she does. What? It wouldn't be a drama if she didn't see him. And then the next happenings in this kind of end of the drama after this kind of grand confession is basically where Eunsung admitting after, you know, she admits that she likes him, but also that she doesn't have time for that. You know, she admits this to her friend. She's like, yeah, I know I like him. It's fair for me to say that, but I don't have the time. I still have to find my brother. She has to prove her innocence. And she still has to just make a living. She's still just making, you know, ends meet. And this again is an example of like her maturity versus Hwan's, because throughout the entire drama, they're constantly compared. And this was just another moment of like him throwing everything out the window, being like, why does it all matter? I want to be with you. And she's like, that's all great and dandy, but I got bigger fish to fry and you and I are not it, you know? And so it just was a constant thing that you kept looking at throughout the story. But at the same time, you start to recognize that they're both not wrong, you know, that some points you need to live your life in the moment, right? You know, sometimes it's like, I got to go for what I want right now. And then other times you have to live your life and kind of the real reality of like, I got to deal with whatever keeps me happy and safe and healthy right now. I can't think about anything else. And so I thought it was nice to have both of those kind of pit against each other, but knowing that you need both. You need both. You can't be both. You can't be just Eunsung and you can't just be Hwan either. And I liked seeing that. And then we also have at the end here, you know, our evil stepmom plotting and scheming with the lawyer who's Junsei's father, mind you, of the grandmother's company to find a way to take the company from her. And then, of course, force her family and mostly Hwan to hate Eunsung again. And so she always got a plot. She always got a scheme. She's like, my first one didn't work. I got another one for you. And this is something that they're able to really get under the way because grandmother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's when she originally had her fall back when, you know, the beginning of the drama. And so, and no one knew this except for grandmother and her, like, her right-hand man. So no one knew this and Eunsung didn't even know it, but it kind of allows for them to have like a something of a leg to stand on when they think about removing her from the being the president of the company, because they already didn't like that she was trying to hand over her entire company to a stranger. They're like, who is this girl? How dare you? But the whole point was that she was going to prove that she was worthy of it by having her work and working hard for the company and proving herself and making big moves for the company. That was grandmother's plan. But you know, they're like, nope, we want to take the company from you. We can't trust you. But as with the ending of the story, let's get to the very end. If you don't want to hear the ending of the story, stop right here. But this is the end of the story. So the plan backfires. It all backfires because Juan and Eunsung end up really working together, and they pull the employees of the company to speak up about wanting his grandmother to stay the president, and that helps her beat, you know, the board, basically. And it makes Eunsung realize that she could never be who our grandmother has been for that company. And she fights to reject any offer to work for the company after that. She has other goals before this even all happened, before her father, quote unquote, died, before she lost her brother. She had things that she wanted to do. She wanted to study culinary, you know, design, I believe, something like that. And so she wants to do that again. So she tells the grandmother, like, I know you need someone to take over this company, but I don't trust me. I don't think I could ever feel the way that you feel about this company, because that's just not my dream. You know, that's yours. That's your legacy. But I think there's somewhere else that you, someone else you can trust in the company to do this, if you can't trust your grandson, you know, all of that. And she finally convinces grandmother to remove her from being the one to inherit her company. And the grandmother does it reluctantly. She really does. She's like, are you sure? Are you sure? And then she's like, you don't even want to work for my company anymore. She's like, you don't want to work at the right. Like, she's like, I can give you this. And she's like, nope, I'm good. I got other things I want to do. And so and the thing that she really wants to do is to kind of study abroad again and to be with her brother abroad. And they end up finding her brother because, again, he was right underneath her nose the entire drama, yet we don't get them reunited until like the final two episodes. And it's, you know, it's a great reunion because it's very simple. It's just Juan being like, I think I know this kid. He's always at the bar, he's always at my friend's bar working at the piano. He stays with my friend, like literally. And he just pulls him and finds him and well, he didn't, it takes him a little bit to find him, but he finds him, and they had bonded already. They had formed their own relationship. So that was always really wonderful to watch. But he pulls him and he's like, here he is. And so, you know, she's like, I want to go, you know, take my brother to America. I want to do all this. And that's what she really wants. But of course, that's not what Juan wants to hear, because, you know, he's like, I want us to be a thing, and I want to be a couple with you. And though he feels that way, and after knowing his grandmother's diagnosis, he realized that he doesn't want to leave his grandmother. He doesn't, because she gives him the go. She's like, actually, if you want to go to study abroad with her, I officially release you from ever having to take over my company. Like, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. Like, I promise you can go back and study abroad. And he rejects that too, because he's like, I want to stay with my grandmother to build beautiful memories with her before she starts to lose her memories. Like, he says that, I'm getting emotional. It's so sweet. And he even says, like, I want to replace the bad ones that she has of him, you know, so that she can forget those first and she can just kind of have the longest lasting memories being the ones that are good of him. And I just thought that was so special and so sweet. So they both kind of decide like what's best for themselves, right? She's like, I think I need to go back abroad with my brother, like I had always planned on doing. And he's like, I think I need to stay here and actually be with my grandmother as she deals with what she's dealing with. I want to be here for her. And then Eunsung tells Juan to wait for her. It's so cute. She's like, you can wait for me, can't you? She's like, just wait for me. And she tells him she loves him, and that she just wants him to wait. And so he takes it as, I can do that. He's like, I can do that. I can wait. And that's the end of the drama, Shining Inheritance or Brilliant Legacy. And yeah, like, yeah, let me talk about my favorite parts of this drama. So before I go into, I was going to say some other things, but this drama is very well directed. It is beautifully acted, and it has a very clean script. I truly appreciate what the story actually discusses, and it's that the love of money is the root of all evil. It really is. It does this in a very wholesome way too, without people actually being murdered or dying, you know, like there's no real death in this. And I think that was refreshing for me to watch that in this day and age with K-dramas. I feel like every story starts with a murder. And so that was really refreshing. I mean, there was some violence. There was a lot of, you know, there's some punches and some slaps. Come on, it's an older K-drama. What can we expect? We don't have that as much these days, but you know, back in the day, there were slaps and punches all over the place. So, you know, that aside, I think there was something wholesome about the way that they handled such a topic about, you know, just the evil of people and how people can become evil. And I liked that. I really, really liked how they explored that. I think that's my favorite part. And I think that's what I loved about it originally, was that it felt like a story that you learned from, right? It's like, what not to do, right? Don't be a horrible person. And I think there's even a part in the drama where I think it's the grandmother who says, like, oh no, it's not the grandmother, it's the father. It's Eun Sung's father who says to her, like, he's learned throughout what he has done and everything. He's like, just don't do things that you know you're going to regret. He's like, just don't live a life that you're going to regret, you know? And I love that as well. So I really think that this story is just, at its core, is wholesome. It's just so wholesome. It's such a family drama vibe. You're supposed to get something from it. You're supposed to learn something from it. You're supposed to, you know, become a better person, I think, after watching it. I think I did. I think I did back in 2009. I think I did again with the rewatch. So definitely my favorite aspect of this drama. My least favorite part or parts of this drama, I would say maybe because the story starts with these very dramatic soap opera-like happenings, like the father dying in an explosion, the grandmother falling into Eun Sung's lap and having temporary amnesia, and then the younger brother Eun Woo being abandoned. And as soon as they find him, almost find him, you know, he ends up running away again back in Seoul, so close and under her nose, you know, all of that, you know, was that could be my least favorite. But all of that was still handled with such care and respect by like the writing itself that it was just not treated as something that was happening for shock value. And it felt like it actually had its purpose and meaning in the story. So it was hard for me not to suspend my disbelief and those things happen. And that's really hard to do, I think, in a story. Like, it's really hard to do, especially for a drama where I'm rewatching it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's hard for me to, like, I can obviously be like, oh, yeah, this thing again. But no, even in a rewatch, I felt like I was still convinced enough to be like, you know what? That could happen. That totally could happen, right? Totally. So I have to applaud that just as much as I can see it being unfavorable to some degree, if that makes sense. You know, as much as I can see that being a least favorite aspect of the story, these dramatic, you know, soap opera happenings, I still feel like the way that the drama handled them is very well done, and you have to applaud them for that. So wonderful. As much as it's my least favorite, is also another kind of just like nod to how good it is. So would I recommend this drama? Now that I've rewatched it in 2024, a drama from 2009, family weekend drama, yes. Yes, I would. And I think I would recommend it to people who enjoy that genre already and who have not seen it, right? You know, because I feel like that's not everyone likes that. And I will also recommend it to people, like I said earlier, who can't get down a 50 episode weekend drama, but they could probably do a 28 one. You know, this is a perfect one for you. If you feel like you want to watch a family style drama, that would be, you know, not too much of a commitment as a 50 episode one. I think this one would be a really good one to do. Yeah, I also think people who don't need romance, who like a good kind of like wholesome, heartfelt, you know, story, who like a little bit of like, you know, like gasp moments, a little dramatic moments, a lot of kind of like tit for tat with our characters. Like, this actually would be good for people who enjoy that in general. So I do think it's something I would recommend still. And then, like I always ask in these episodes at the end, did I like the drama after rewatching it again? And is there merit in watching it again or watching it for the first time if you've never watched it, you know, in this day and age, is it worth it to watch it? And I would say I loved this drama when I first watched it while it was airing. I loved it. And I have to say, I still have so much love in my heart for this drama. Did I love it as much as I watched it when I watched it the first time? No. And I think it's because I obviously know all the twists and turns. So it just wasn't as enjoyable as the first time. But I still see so much merit in watching this drama, even in this day and age. Like I said, I think it does something that, I mean, I don't know. I don't watch many weekend family dramas these days, so I can't speak on how they're, you know, doing these days. But I mean, for it to be 28 episodes and less of a commitment, and for it to have those same values and drills home some of those kind of core things that makes you feel wholesome, you know, like I can't say that there's not merit in that. Like sometimes you need a story like that. And I think the real merit comes into our characters and the way that they develop them and the performances. I mean, like I was saying earlier about the Soon-mi character, like the way her character went full circle for me was just like, mwah, mwah. They don't do it like that anymore. and then Junsei, played by Subin, even how I said his character on paper seems very flat to me. As in, like, it doesn't have much up and down. It doesn't have much movement and growth for this character. But the way that Subin performed this character, I still loved it. I still love that character because of it. He was great, okay? Like, he made a character that was plain on paper really stand out for me. So definitely things like that. But then performance again, with our lovely Han Hyo-ju as our lead. I mean, some of the scenes, you're just like, oh, you know, like the way she has, what she has to deal with, some of the moments when she's breaking down, just beautiful, beautifully done. And she's still absolutely gorgeous to look at. And then, like I said, our little romance that isn't really at all throughout this drama. I mean, it's just like the final episodes, we really get that. Those two, their interactions throughout the drama, you really do like them. They're very sweet. Like I said, wholesome, cute moments. There's nothing too horrible that happens with their situation as far as like you hating him or her. You know, they do great together as far as the way that they end up. And so I really liked this drama. I really did. I still enjoyed it. I think even though it was a rewatch and I had seen all the plot twists and turns, I still liked it. And like I said, our stepmother, and this is something I didn't say, but I wanted to say about the stepmother character and how she was evil to the character's core. There was no redeeming qualities about her throughout this drama. However, you can't find yourself actually hating her. As much as you're annoyed by her and you're frustrated by her, I never hated her. And I think that's because the way that she is portrayed is that of a mother at its kind of most rawest form, like in the jungle kind of way. You know, like, I don't have the time to hear your side of things. I don't need to understand what you need in this situation. All I know is my baby girl, she wants something and she can't get it, so I'm gonna go get it for her. And that, to me, I could not really be mad at. And then the backstory that they do give us about her and her daughter's situation prior to marrying Eun Sung's father, all of that was layered too. So, I mean, it was really well done in the end when you really thought about it. I was really impressed. I'm going to be honest. Like, as much as you think you're supposed to hate this woman and you, I mean, you, I think you're supposed to hate her to some degree, but you never can fully get there with her. Never can get there with her. So even the ending, how the story ends for her, it ends perfectly for her. And you're like, yep, that's what I expected. And one of my favorite scenes in this drama is her scene with Soon-mi at the very end. I'm not gonna disclose it because who's to know? You might want to see it, but it's one of my favorite scenes because I tell you, I felt so much watching it, and I just thought the performance was amazing. But the way they did it, I was heartbroken. I was hurting, and I didn't think I would hurt for her and her daughter. I didn't think I would. So just Great job. Great job. Great job. So I am done here. I'm done here, guys. I'm done. I'm so glad I got to rewatch this film. Like I said, there's so much there. It's a long one, but it was a good ride. It was a good ride back in 2009, and it was a good ride again in 2024. Again, definitely have elements of its time. So, you know, if you're going to watch this for the first time, brace yourself for that. But it was still great. It was still great a second time around. So I am so excited. So we're not going in sequence, as you can see. I've kind of been hopping around the year. So I might have something a little bit older than this next time or not. We don't know. We'll see. But I was just happy to go back to 2009 because that was a good year for me in K-drama. So just going back to this drama in itself was a... it took me back to that time in 2009. And I really enjoyed that time. So it was nice just for that nostalgia as well. But that's it, guys. That's all. That's it for this episode. I want to thank you so much for listening. And whether you're listening in the morning or in the afternoon or in the evening, I hope you have a great day. It's been real, everyone. Lola's off.